Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. This is the fifth and will be the last for season of studies, lectures, as you should call them, on the perspectives and manifestations of the Spirit of God during revival. I will be collecting thoughts as we go along, as I see things happening and hear about things and questions and so forth. And after a period of time, I will come up with a sixth, I'm sure, and eventually a seventh, eighth, and ninth, and so forth. As time goes on, part of our training, and they'll all be listed in our alphabetical section under the same title someday, so they'll all be connected. I want to say that the week after school is out, Bible College Hill. If you're reading your bulletins, and I hope everybody is continually reading your bulletins, because there's always some information that you need to know. And one piece of information, I won't go all the details right now, is that for a week after school is open, this whole front and area is going to be open for prayer during the time that many are going to Bible college. And this is the opportunity for many to just hide away in God and retreat, have your own spiritual retreat right here, and just spending a few hours in God. You see, maybe I'll say it this way. The way really to move in God is spend time with God. And so many people never really get what they want because they make these half-hour excursions in trying to get with God. And as I've said so many times, the truth of the matter is that unless you have got into that spiritual realm and you keep it up in the spirit in time with prayer and you're staying there, unless you are there where you can plug right in immediately, most people, most Christians, are not really in tune enough. And I don't mean this in a derogatory sense. I don't mean that you don't love Him with your whole heart, and I don't mean you don't ever feel His presence. And some people, you know, don't want to think of themselves as being, you know, second class, so they refuse to believe that they could possibly be that category, I suppose. But the truth is, very few people are in a place to immediately come right into His presence and stay there all the time. And so those that are not, that are seeking to be in that place, never really break through. And so every time they'll come and they pray and they never break through, and after a while it becomes discouraging never to break through. That's always discouraging. So they eventually slip, so they quit, because struggle is never fun, exciting. Trying to break through but not break through is discouraging after a time. And so eventually their prayer life falls off and they reorganize their theological mind and opinions on prayer and these things to, well, it just must be something that you just do in your heart and you just obey the word. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of theology that's going to be changed when God's Spirit really is free to work. Say what we will as to being careful to get our theology from the book. People still are subjective enough, even the most objective people are subjective enough, to somewhat color their theology by their experiences. And so that if they never receive that, the theology turns a bit until it's follow the law, and that's all we can do, the law of the book and the gospel and God's mercy and so forth. But there is a place where you can move into that presence of God. And it takes a while sometimes just to get rid of all your strugglings and efforts and finally quit trying and just be before God and get rid of all the mind battles coming through and just get yourself, you quit thinking about all the people around you and get yourself finally to a place where you begin to lose sight of this earth and get your mind upon Him and give Him time to work on your spirit and work on your spirit and develop, and time for your spirit to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Time for you to really begin paying deep cost, to begin developing a real hunger, a real thirsting, to begin to press in until your frustrations turn to faith and determination, to begin to hold on to those promises and claim those things, to pray through until whatever princes of the power of the air finally are pushed back by reason of your faithfulness in God. Because see, you can come and say, devil, you can't stop me. I claim the victory in the name of Jesus and so forth. Half hour later, you say, oh, this is so discouraging. I quit. I'll never get it. And you see, they're not pushed back because you've been tried and found wanting. And we sometimes, we like to use the name Jesus like a magic pep pill until we take this thing and we give it a whirl and see if it works. And after a half hour, our bodies are tired, and if it doesn't seem to work, we then just bag the whole thing. And you see, the devil doesn't have to leave. But hour after hour, day after day, you persevere and you say, I will not let you go, Lord, until you bless me. This promise is mine. The devil can't have it. I have a right. I am a son of God. You are no respecter of persons. This promise is mine. It's mine. It's mine. I don't care if the heavens are brass. I don't care if my throat is dry. I don't care if the body is weak. I don't care if the devil is strong. This is my promise. I shall have it. I thank you in advance. I hold to the faith. You continue, and eventually God will say, now, you tried him long enough. Get out. You have been found a liar. He will persevere, and now my presence will come upon him. You say, well, I wish it was a lot easier. Well, that's the trouble. If it gets a lot easy, we don't appreciate it much. We fall asleep on the bed of love and ease, and God doesn't do much for us. He's not worth much. That's the trouble in the Christian world today. God is like so much spiritual aspirin, you know. To most Christians, he's not worth much. He doesn't do much. He doesn't cost much. There's not much to it. Surface, shallow religion. Hoop and a jump and a shout and a love and excitement and with a crowd of friends, and that's about the depth of it. But it costs something to really know God. It costs something to really get into his spiritual realm. You don't just sloppily plow into the white room of God. If you're going to be lifted up into high in heavenly places, it takes burning out the old flesh. It takes time before God in prayer that God may use his spirit to change your heart and deepen you and strengthen you in him. And those who persevere receive. You remember the story that Jesus told of the man of importunity that kept pounding at the door of a man who was in bed at night and did not want to get up until finally that man was willing to get up. And when he was finally willing to get up, he was willing to give him all the bread he needed. It wasn't that he was stingy in the amount of bread. He just didn't want to be bothered. The man hadn't prevailed upon him enough. And it's not the point of the parable isn't that Jesus, God, is stingy, but it is that we need to prevail upon him so that unless we prevail upon him, we are not really changed to be really hungry and thirsty and willing to pay the price and deepening and making decisions and dedications and holding on to faith and being tested in our faith and so forth. Unless we really persevere, we are not really in that shape, but he can do for us what he wants to. And so, the Greek is in the continuing action. Keep knocking, keep seeking, keep asking. For everyone that keeps knocking and keeps seeking and keep asking shall be filled, shall receive, it says. Shall receive. It's the promise of God. But it's not he that gives a knock, a shout, and a call. It's keep knocking, keep seeking. But how long? Until you receive. The man kept doing it until he received the bread. And he says, you do it until you receive. How long is that? That's as long as till God decides to give you the bread. And will we fault God? Surely we will not fault God. Surely he knows more when we're ready. Surely he knows our frame. You say, Lord, but I'm going to die if I don't have you. No, you're not going to die. I can't stand any longer. You can and you will. I've got to have you now. You're not going to get me now, but you're going to get me by and by. Just keep seeking. Lord, I'm ready. No, you're not ready, but you will be. Just keep on going. See, we don't always know. You know, little children think, you know, they think a lot of thoughts the adults disagree with. Me hungry. No, you're not hungry. You just ate an hour and a half ago. See. So I want to just prevail upon you to take opportunity if you can. And I think the sanctuary will be open from about 8 in the morning until about midnight for that week. And if you'll come and decide, I'm going to spend a week, just retreat from everything. And I don't realize everybody can't do this. You've got obligations, but some of you can. I'm just saying the time when you can get together and wait upon God and stay and stay and stay and break through, break through. People who really have gotten really deep in God are people who have waited upon Him for long periods of time. I never met a man who had tremendous experiences in God who prayed for 20 minutes at a time. There are people that wait upon God by the hour. It costs something. If you want God, it costs something. Just like if you want to learn to be a doctor or a lawyer, it costs you something. Or an engineer or something, it costs you something. You just can't, you know, if you want to build a house, it costs you time and energy for that house and research and investigation. You can't have something for nothing. And this is the greatest thing that there is. And if it's not worth some time to you, then God says, then it's not worth much to you. If I'm only worth a half hour, that's all your faith is, then that's where you'll have to live until you decide that I'm worth everything. Till you're willing to give up everything. Till I'm first priority. Then you begin to get ready for my spirit. I don't come into people that just kind of want a little zap and a little bit of a high. I come into people that want to live their life for me and want me to be their strength of life and are willing to pay the price and love me and make me first and everything. The requisite for really getting through while you're waiting upon God is keeping your focus and attention on God. When your mind is full of everybody around you, your body, your position, other people, what they're doing, keep looking around, thinking about other people, letting things float through your mind, etc., etc., you really can't get into that high place in God. Until you give all your focus and attention, until you are constantly just having your spirit and your mind and your soul, all constantly in attention with Him, until everything falls off and blurs and dulls so you can't even, not aware of it, until you spend that time with God, you'll never move into the high relationship. Now you say, but it's hard because my mind is full of a million things. I know. And we need to take authority over that with others about you in the spirit, rebuking the devil who would fill your mind with every thought. I know I've got proof positive in my judgment of the fact that the devil will load your mind full of everything possible. He doesn't care if it's tennis. I mean, it can be very legitimate things. So if it's not very legitimate, it might scare you. You might know who it was. But he'll load your mind full of every legitimate thought in the world so you cannot do that. You need to rebuke that thing and take authority over it. And the thing that might help a lot of you is when you're in that place, it would be best that you pray in English rather than in the spirit for a while. And the reason being, and when you're praying in the spirit, your spirit is articulating its cry through a language that your own mind does not understand. That leaves your mind kind of vacant and free to wander a bit more. Now, it's true that your mind should also be upon the Lord, and your mind should be pressing your mind to align with what you're feeling in your spirit. That's true. However, when your own ears pick up the sound of your voice saying what your spirit and soul really feel, what you feel to the best of your knowledge, what you feel, and as you're doing that, and there's more electrical energy up here that is embedding itself in the mind, and it's easier to concentrate. And so if you will begin taking hold of faith in God's word in English, so you know what you're saying, it's easier to keep yourself so that you're concentrating and not letting your mind wander if you're having that problem. It's easier for your mind to wander if you don't know what you're saying. And if you know what you're saying and you begin to take, and you're having to think of those things, you're having to dig them out of the well of your memory and begin laying them before God. Things of faith, laying hold of that word like I mentioned a little while back. And then, until, you know, after a while, when you begin to move in the spiritual realms, you find that you will slip into tongues without even knowing it. When you get into a certain place, you won't consciously switch. You'll just find yourself over there without even knowing you were there. But if you will, If you will articulate until you have are up to a certain place, then you can move on over and move on up without that same interference. But if you start out that way, you see, some people start out in tongues because it's somewhat of an escapism to them. It keeps them, it's a crutch. Now, I'm not depreciating the value of it. I'm just saying they're not very articulate. And because they're not articulate, it saves them having to articulate. It saves them having to frame words that are coherent sentences and make sense. They're not very good at explaining themselves, and so it's easier to just to go into tongues so you won't have to use their mind to frame coherent thought patterns that they need to express to God. But you need to frame your thoughts and present them before God. And you need to, for lengths of time, to do that. I think it's a mistake just to pray 100% of the time in tongues. Just like I think it's a mistake to pray 100% of the time in English. I think you need to start out and pray in English until you've prayed your heart out in English and you have prayed and you've really articulated yourself, and then until you find yourself speaking other tongues, and then go on with it for the rest of the evening. The priorities, and there's three things I'm going to talk about, are these in this order. First, your basic priority is to go deeper with God. Now, by deeper, we're talking about analogy, for example, of a root of a tree. Sending your roots down is talking about depth of decision. Whenever we say deeper, higher, and broader, what we're really meaning is this. Deeper means decisions for God. Deeper means willingness to cut off the old flesh, to obey the law of God, to be obedient unto God, to surrender your life unto God, to lay hold of integrity, honesty, righteousness, faith, that which is the Word of God, planting yourself on the Word of God, embedding your roots in the Word of God, laying your foundation of principles in God, that you'll live by the principles. That's the first thing. And your second priority is higher. By higher, we're talking about the tree coming up now, having sufficient root to hold it in the time of storm. By higher, we're meaning praise, love expression, that joy unspeakable, the glory of God upon you. That cannot be without roots. You cannot have glory and praise and joy and power and peace and all this without any foundation in the Word and decisions and integrity. You can't live sloppy life and have real shallow, bug-eaten roots, have glorious limbs full of fruit. It's not possible. You've got to have roots that can drink and take of the soil and the water of life before you can have that which is glory in God. So some people, and I say this because many people are trying to get the tree high without building any roots. They don't want much roots. They want to ignore the root system and have juicy, enormous fruit. They want melons on the tree with no root system. They pay no price. They want mercy on the soil and glory in the tree. And all they're looking for is experiences and wonder why they can't get it. Some people are in the opposite trap. They don't want any fruit on the tree. They want deep, heavy roots that will hold, but no fruit. They want to be a giant cedar tree. They don't want to have any fruit on it. They're not looking for glory. They don't want that. They don't want the joy. They're afraid of fruit. They just want to stand tall so everybody can see them, have deep roots, and reach to heaven. But God has called it to be fruitful. So first deeper, and then higher. Now, when you do it in that order, the higher, once you get higher in God, you'll find it so much easier than to go deeper some more. And once you go deeper, you will automatically go higher. And then when you're higher, you will go deeper. When you're deeper, you will go higher. And when you're higher, you will go deeper. When you get deeper, you'll go higher. Then you'll go deeper. Then you'll go higher. And that's the way it is. That's the normal growth. And then third, broader. By broader, we mean extending your ministries, extending your influence in God. Broader talks about reaching out and embracing more people, more understanding, more ministry. And it's not surprising that God hasn't opened up the doors of the earth. God says he opens the doors and no man can close it. It's not surprising at all to me that he hasn't sent out hundreds to establish churches in this place. It is not at all surprising to me that he hasn't sent out from churches all over America evangelists and missionaries by the thousands, as it were. People send themselves out a lot, and he does send a few out in whatever shape he can find them in. But the great harvest work is still waiting for the rain to come down and to ripen the fruit. Still waiting for the earth to do its work and the sky to do its work before he sends the reapers. And there's no sense in getting out there and beating ourselves to death trying to get a few souls in if we can't keep what we've got plus ourselves. And so we wait upon God and deepen the work. So forth. All right, with that in mind, I want to bring some more perspectives. So pardon me flipping page to page because, as I said, I've categorized my notes by subject after I've written them down. Now, if sometimes when people are, you may be praying in a room, a number of people are gathered, and this has happened, and the Spirit of the Lord is working, and maybe somebody has gone down to the power of God, and there's eight or nine number of people around them praying for that person, and they look over, and one of the elders, pastor, elder, someone, may look over and see somebody leaning against the wall, just kind of with their eyes closed like this, and it doesn't look like they're doing anything. We had an experience. Two of us made a mistake at the same time, me and the other person. I suppose my wife and I and the other person, when they implicate all three of us. And it was in an elders' meeting. And, you know, somebody had gone down in the spirit, and somebody over was here, and somebody was praying, and somebody over here, and there were several groups and people around them. And somebody was gone down in the spirit, and they were praying, and I looked over, and I saw this person's wife. And leaning up against the wall, and she didn't really look like that she was really, you know, doing any real business with God. You know, it looked like she was just kind of leaning there, just kind of, you know. You know, we've been praying a while, and you do this, and you know what I mean. It didn't look like she was really under any glory, in other words, lost in the spirit. And I thought, well, she doesn't know that her husband's gone downhill praying for her. And I know that she'd been praying for her husband. Her husband had been, you know, wanting to go deeper, and I'm sure she'd like to come and pray for her husband. And I believe, if my memory is correct, my wife kind of said, honey, why don't you have, and she kind of said, you know, she kind of pointed to this person, you know, I believe in any way, and I felt kind of the same way, so I went over to her and I just tapped and I said, do you want to come over and pray for, you know, his husband? So she got up and she went over. And then later I learned, you know, I was doing some, this other sister and I were, we was both leaning against the wall together, and God has been working, and they were just kind of silently, very quietly, but God was working deeply in them, and I can't relate it all now exactly about how they had prayed and saying what happened, but they would, God was doing such deep things, and when I said that, it was just like, oh, no, I don't want to break this. But in obedience to the pastor, submission, she forced herself out of the glory to go over and prayed for him. Now, you see, I never really meant break off from glory and go over. I meant, if you're not doing anything particularly, maybe you'd be interested in knowing that your husband is down here and you might want to pray for him. And so I think all three of us erred. And what I'm going to say is to prevent, it hurt me to realize that I had done that. I know how important, you know, when you've been seeking God and you're in a certain place, you don't want anybody to bother. You can't always tell by how high they're jumping, how loud they're shouting. You can be in a place where the person looks like they're just laying there asleep, practically, and all the things are happening inside. We're finding this out. Very quietly, you can be there just going like this. Oh, you're just doing work, just something happening inside. You battled through, you prayed hard, and now you're brought to a silence, and it's inside. You don't even want to hardly speak, and inside there's just something, you're just in a place where God is just doing wonderful things. You can't always tell that. Somebody just comes like this, you say, oh, he's not doing anything. Be careful about judging like that. You don't know. You don't always know. And so if somebody comes, like pastor, or elder, somebody else, to say, would you want to come and pray for this person? And you're in that place. That is not what they're meaning. And you need to take the spirit of the law, and not the letter of the law. You need to understand. And they probably don't realize you've been moved upon with God. And so You either just keep your eyes closed and continue, and after they tap you and show it two or three times, they'll quit tapping. They'll go on to somebody else. You just stay there. That'll be fine. You don't have to pay any attention. If you're in the spirit, they don't mean you. And so just keep right on going. You can just shake your head if you want and keep on. You can explain later. You can say, oh, I can't now. They'll understand. Don't break the move of the spirit. This will cause the other to feel badly when they find out. And we who are asking people, we don't often do it, but sometimes we do, especially those in more leadership positions. And when we do ask people, we probably should say, go over to them and just say, sister, or brother, you know, if the Lord is not moving upon you heavily right now, would you like to join in prayer for so-and-so? In other words, don't just say, come on over, but put the qualification there. It'll be easier for them. We should make it a policy. Don't pray. Don't let yourself get into the spirit while you're standing up holding your babies in your arms. It's not wise, you know. You're there in a position and the God comes upon you, you know, and you can begin to lose sight and forget, you know, what you're doing. Next thing you know, why, you know, oh, over you go, you know. And you say, well, God do that to you? No, but you might do that to you. You might just, you know, when the Spirit of the Lord is on you, you don't hold your babies in your arms. Also, don't continue uphill on the high cliffs where the hinds feet must go, a music ministry, when after the service, the power of God begins coming upon you and you're finding it hard to keep your equilibrium and then your knees begin to get weak. Don't stay up on the high bluffs. Get down on the plateaus hill. So if you fall, why, you don't have to fall so far. You say, won't God take care of you? Well, I don't believe in praising him at the edge of a bluff, you know. You know, we don't want to tempt God. There's something more involved, too, which I'll explain to in a minute. If somebody in music ministry, for example, is up here leaning, they don't even always realize which direction they're leaning. Sometimes there's a force on them pushing them one way, and they're leaning the other way to counteract it, and they're the opposite direction they feel. It all happened to me one time when I was about a second year in Bible college. I was leaning one direction, and I thought I was leaning the other direction. There was so much force on me trying to knock me over, and I was subconsciously resisting it so much, I was exactly opposite the direction I thought I was. And when somebody's leaning over that way, up someplace, just take them and lay them down. Don't leave them halfway over. Because, you see, what happens up there, I've learned a lot more about this in the last number of weeks than I ever knew before. And that is, a person is up there and he's fighting, he may be resisting and fighting, but the Spirit of the Lord is upon him and he said to go over, but he's afraid to go over until God takes him down. And he's in this transition stage, and he's afraid to go down. He doesn't want to go down if God takes him down, and God hasn't really kicked the feet out from under him yet, and so he's still there. But in the meantime, he's conscious of the fact, and his back is aching him, and he's resisting, and he's having a hard time with balance, and he's a little fearful of falling, and all that is bothering his just loving the Lord. So when a person's in that position, take him down. There's no virtue in just watching him go clunk. I mean, if I see a person fall, I catch him and lay him down. And one reason is this. You see, well, you're the man who said that you don't believe in lining up catches behind people. And just if God takes them over, let them go. Sure, that's exactly what I believe. I don't line up catches behind the people. But I've learned and do know that, you see, some people, God is perfect, but man isn't. And so that there are people that just begin to, you know, you begin to lose your strength. You just begin to lose your balance, your strength. Some people have trouble with vertigo anyway. And their eyes are shut. You're looking up. They begin to do this, you know. And some people don't quite know. They don't know if maybe, well, you know, I'm just getting weak. I'm beginning to feel this. And maybe God wants me to go over. I mean, some people just go over by faith. And maybe God hasn't really taken them down yet. And because of that, and because the person gets to a place, he says, I just want to lay down. I mean, and I just couldn't hardly stand any longer. And I just, you know, and he may go over a little bit too soon on his own. Well, realizing the infallibility of people and everybody not being able to think precisely and not knowing precisely, there may be people that may go over when they don't have to go over. And it's safer just to take a hold of the... Just take the person and lay him down. Because there's no virtue in just watch them fall just and bounce on the floor so you can say, well, boy, they really had a, you know, went down. I mean, that's no virtue. And so, but I'm not worried about a person falling under the Spirit. Yet I realize there are people falling in a position where they just think, I can hardly stand up anymore. I'm just going to trust God and away over they go. And so you're better off to, if you see them, way, just help them. And if they're leaning down and the way off to one side, and they're bending over their knees or in this position like this, you can just see that they're uncomfortable. I go over to them, just take them like this, and I just lay them down. I lay them in such a way that it, you know, the legs can straighten out properly. And so look which way where the body is, and just lay them down. It's a favor to them, because at that point, they're uncomfortable, and as soon as they get laid down, they can relax. And then it's easier just to love the Lord when you're relaxed than in some halfway position. We need to get sensitive. And if you've been in this position, which I have many times now, I have been in a place, and a number of others have here too, and you know what it's like to can hardly stand up, hardly keep your balance, yet a little bit afraid to fall, in a cramped position. Knock you down to go down. There's no rule against laying on the floor. Just lay down and be comfortable so you can just forget about the equilibrium. Now, you can help one another if you understand some things. Most people are quite insensitive and without the understanding of how to help somebody who's laying for long periods of time when the Spirit of the Lord is upon them or you're praying for them. So I'm going to tell you what to do. This may seem foolish to some of you because you haven't been there. But when you're there, you'll understand it. So by faith, just understand something. Some of these things may seem awfully Pentecostal to you. But, the primary thing we're trying to do, don't equate this with past religious ideology. That's not what we are. We're going to move into new experiences in God you have never seen or heard of. The Holy Spirit is taking His people into a deeper, higher relationship. It's the promise of God in the Scriptures. If you've got an early rain in the Scriptures and no latter rain yet, that latter rain is going to be produced that which the former rain has not produced. There's going to be greater glory. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. Expect a greater glory. Expect more of the power of God. God has said so. He promised it. And the Scriptures give us very little understanding of in the New Testament age of any of these things, because it's not the purpose of it. That's the purpose of the church government and the Holy Ghost. And therefore, it tells you practically zero. So don't thumb through your Bible, can't find it, and therefore reject it. That is doing disservice to the Word of God. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. How can it lead you and guide you if you don't need it? If you got the book and you've got everything easily read on print, then you don't need that guidance of the Holy Spirit to lead you into things and in ways that you know not of. But here's what I'm trying to say. Let's suppose a person is lying down and people are praying for him. He's there for long periods of time. You really need to know what happens to a person. Now, people are different. Some people are kind of muscular and or heavy built, and some are very thin. And some, especially ladies, are very flexible, and men are not near as flexible. You look around and see ladies kneeling down praying. Lots and lots of them. They went on the middle of the floor. They'll kneel on their haunches, you know, and the feet are back of them, and they're sitting right on their ankles for long periods of time with arms up. You see very few men do that. Their ankles just won't bend that way. They're like this, and I couldn't do that to save my life. And they're in positions so that they can bend in ways that men can't bend. And flexible people can, but everybody isn't. So first is laying on the floor and both legs are out like this. What happens to his legs? If he relaxes his muscles, his feet go this way. They don't stay up this way automatically. They tend to go this way. Then somebody comes and they're this way and here's the floor. They lay his hands on your foot and he's putting pressure on your leg and you're having to pull with your thigh to keep him, you know, because your leg is now flexible to bend all the way to the floor sideways. Now some ladies won't understand all this, because the legs bend so easily all different directions, but fellas that are more muscular can't do that. And so when you put pressure here, you are putting pressure on him, and he's having to resist you. And after about 20 minutes of that, it gets pretty hard. to keep your mind on the Lord. And as a matter of fact, just the weight of his own legs hanging here. After a while, he's begging somebody to take him and pull his feet together. See? And you need to really understand. And a whole bunch of people around somebody. What you need to do, if we've got a lot of big crowd, if you'll just put yourself right up against him so his legs can't fall over sideways, hold him like that, then he can just relax. Be so easy for him. Just put your hips up against his legs as you're praying for him, or your hand against. Don't press him this way. Press him together. Then he's comfortable. If after a while his back gets aching and he pulls his legs up so his knees are up like this, his feet flat on the floor, you know, it's even hard to keep your legs together. And I've had this happen to me many times, number of times. Laying there, and the people want to put their hand on top of your knee this way and spread your legs, you know, this way. And now again, you're forcing your muscles. The opposite, they're already tired. And they don't understand. If people on both sides put your hand on the side of the knee and push them together, then you can relax your muscles and forget about them. And people can help another, they just understand. If somebody's feet are going like this and he keeps readjusting his feet, his shoes are too slippery, he's sliding on the carpet, he can't keep it up, why, park at the bottom of his feet so he can't move them. Do something so he doesn't have to fight. In other words, we need to be sensitive enough to understand that this person wants to forget about everything and just be in the presence of God. As long as he's fighting hands and muscles and everything else, he can't really relax. That's true if he's kneeling down, whatever's happening to him. If he's kneeling down on a chair like this and you're pushing his elbows to the chair, particularly if it's a hard surface, you know, if he's crunched up on his shoulders like this with so many hands, he can't do it properly. We need to be sensitive of the person to give him opportunity. If you're in this place and you find yourself terribly uncomfortable, be bold enough to shift. Even if your hands are on you, I can't shift. Yes, you can. You shift. You shift on the underside of your hip and on your knees and up if you want. You shift around like you want. Let everybody else move around you. You make yourself comfortable. If you want to lay down, lay down. If you can't lay anymore, you want to sit up, you sit up. They can all change and lay hands on you. Just go ahead. You want to feel like all this. I just feel like I've got to stand and place up. Go ahead and stand. I mean, make yourself at home. Make yourself comfortable. You're the one who's having to go through it. And make yourself the most comfortable position. Everybody else will flow around you. That's the way to do it. I'm talking about long sessions in God, where you're waiting in prayer rooms, waiting in the Lord for 2 or 3 hours in the Lord. And you really need to be in a place where you can just forget about any stress in the body and keep your mind on the Lord. Also, be careful that if people are laying hands on somebody, you can't get to them, so you're laying hands on somebody who's laying hands on somebody. If four or five, especially if it's a woman, you know, some of these women, you know, their backs are not like the men. They're not as muscular, you know, and you can just about push their back through the floor. My wife had an experience where after she got through, people laying hands on her, her back ached so badly, you could just feel the vertebrae out of place there, and she was had a bit too much pressure. You just can't put, each person put 20 pounds of pressure, and there's five people, that's 100 pounds. And if the back is bent, you got 50 or 100 pounds on you. On a woman particularly, she's going to find it really difficult after a while. So we need to be gentle. Lay your hands gently on somebody and be aware. If somebody falls in the spirit, be aware if they need to of the modesty. If it's a woman and a dress kind of is up a little bit, take a coat or a robe or something, throw it over. If a person is in the evening and they're laying on the floor, when you're already under it like this, you get so hot you can't stand it. Feel free to take your coat off while they're praying for you. No hands can. Sometimes I've been in that place where you just feel like you're going to burn up. But I'm bold enough, I'll go ahead and do things, see. So go ahead and do it. Take your coat off, lay it aside, take your sweater off. Don't worry about it. You can keep praising the Lord while you're doing it. I can go right back. Thing is, keep yourself in a comfortable place so you can forget about other things and keep your mind on the Lord. And when you're going on the floor, your body temperature begins to lower. You're just laying there, and sometimes it gets cold in the evening and the furnace clicks off. And you just have cool air for a while. And if you're getting cool, be aware so you can put something over the chest. You can put a sweater back over the chest or something that's laying on the floor for any length of time. If you're out in the midnight hour, 1 o'clock in the morning, it isn't that warm in there. Remember, somebody there is just lying there, and he may be getting cool. So take care of one another. Be sensitive to what's happening. Yes. Go ahead. My wife wants to share something in a minute.
Well, I'd like to say something here and give an experience so maybe you can make a qualification. And that is, I've experienced now several different times when praying with an individual and they were leaning one way or another or doing something like this, but I knew by the Spirit that God didn't want them to lay down, you know. And so, and in fact, in all three of these cases I'm thinking of, they began to dance in the Spirit. And like Libby testified the other weekend, that if I would have taken my hand off of her back, she knew she would go over. But see, I knew that God didn't want her to go over, that He wanted an expression to come through her in dance. And so I continued to hold my hand there until she became free enough in the Spirit to go ahead and move into that. And so I just thought that maybe we should qualify. You can see a person begin like this and think, well, I'm just going to go ahead and lay him down, you know. But I think that we need to be careful that we know that that's what God is doing before we just do it, because there are times when maybe that isn't. Now, I had another experience with a person who God was moving on in that same way, too, for the dance, but she got nervous and down she went, you know. I mean, she just kind of threw herself on the floor, and so the same thing didn't happen and couldn't happen. The expression of the Spirit wasn't released in the same way because of it. And I don't know how to tell you how to know which is which, excepting it's just that the Lord just seems to let me know in those cases, and there's been several now, so I thought maybe we just should qualify that laying them down in the Spirit.
Okay. Well, we're going to make mistakes, but we need to learn by our mistakes. And I'm giving general guidelines. And if you misunderstand the general guidelines and take them to mean specific in certain cases that are slightly different than what I'm talking about, then, of course, they may not apply. I'm talking about people, and I qualified it by saying somebody's bent over for a long period of time in one direction. Now, if somebody's bent over backwards for a long period of time, then the Lord isn't trying to get him. The Lord's not moving him to begin to dance and praise. He's not. If a person is kind of like this, you don't lay him down. I'm talking about somebody bent over, you know, in an awkward position where he's under a strain for long periods of time. You just see him like this, and as you're praying for him, and after a while, he's kind of like this. And he's laying him over backwards. So you go about far enough, and you just need to lay him down. And we have to always be led of the Spirit. Now, when the person praying for him, the person being prayed for, should be in a place where he is being sensitive and not just trying to, see, that's the trouble, trying to program yourself. Well, I'm supposed to go over, or I wonder if I should fall now, or all that. See, don't get involved with that kind of stuff. Just praise the Lord and just be sensitive to God. Let Him do whatever He wants. Don't put any presuppositions in here. But when you find yourself just unable to stand, and you know, you can help somebody in that position too. If they're in a long period of time with their arms up, you can help them. You know how you can help them? It gets hard. You see them weaving around, you know, like a tree in a high wind, you know. And it gets hard to stand. Some people have more vertical trouble than others, and balance, and their eyes shut. They don't quite know where they are. And besides that, after a while, you know, you're getting to a place where you're getting very difficult. If people around them, if this person will put his hand this way, and he'll push this way, and he'll push this way, and he'll push this way, all you got to do is lock his knees, and he can relax and just praise. And he didn't have to fight his balance for long periods of time. And many times I've seen that. I've seen so many cases where people are more sensitive to the person's needs, they could help an individual. And I have been in that position myself many times to know that if people would just do that, I've been in a position where it's so hard to stand up. If people just push on all sides, just hold you up. In other words, you just lay hands this way, good and hard. But, you know, you do this a little bit and they back their hands up. I've had times, you know, well, my hip was aching, you know, and I scoot over so I could just kind of lean against somebody, and they just scoot back the same amount. I wasn't trying to scoot them over. I'm just trying to lean against them. See? But they move away from you. They don't know what you're trying to do. You just need to. We haven't had enough experiences in these things to know what it's like to be in those positions. One more thing, if I can remember it, I'm going to go on to something else. I lost it now. Another thing is, don't drive your automobile and be under the power of the Lord at the same time. Now, as silly as that sounds, there are people who have done that and who have tried to do that. I know one case, and I've heard of other cases outside this church, the people who want to just, you know, they kind of glory in it. You know, drive my car, always one, I'll drive my car and under glory, and I said, glory to the Lord. Glory. No, I mean, that's stupid. Solomon said, who God gave wisdom, that there's a time and a place for everything. And when you're driving through traffic, it's not the time to be praising the Lord with your eyes shut and doing those things. Even Wayne Snowy, knows that when you're driving in his parking lot, you don't come in with your hands raised. That was a gag at a banquet last year. But anyway, if you're going to be praising the Lord while you're singing and driving along, that's fine. But as soon as you begin to find yourself in a place where you are beginning to let yourself go, you better pull over and park. I mean, make up your mind what you're going to be doing. Driving, you know, or under the power of God. Don't tempt the Lord. Don't be foolish and just expect the Lord to do the things. Don't have those kind of trips. If you're feeling tired, suppose people are praying for you. They prayed for you for 45 minutes or an hour and a half, and you just feel tired. There are times you just feel like, oh, I'm all done for the night. I just can't seem somehow, and I just want to quit. You don't need to feel obligated to stay there by the hour, because other people will stay there until you're done. And if you're not going to do anything with your mind, if your mind's clicked off and you've given and got for the night and you're all done, don't make them spend energy for 3 hours because they're going to press it in as long as you're there. That's like the fellow who was trying to get his piano out the door. The other fellow trying to help him get it in at the same time. Came by, you know. So just feel free at that time to just to open your eyes and when you're needing or whatever, and just say, I want to really thank you for praying for me. I just feel like I'm getting pretty tired now, and I'd like to come back another time. Feel free to do that. Feel free to shut it off, because don't make them continue. As long as you've got faith and you're still moving, then there's no sense in you holding them up out of obligation. This is not. Don't feel obligations. We're not here for obligations. We're here for help in the ministry. So we've got to be free and open to do these things properly. Otherwise, you begin to feel coming. Let me pray for you again, because last time it was 3 hours and you couldn't get up. See, now, that shouldn't be that way. You should feel free to get up when you want to, but remember this. Don't always get up when you feel like it. Stay and persevere through. But if your will is done, and you are done, and you decide that you're done, well, then let everybody else know it and go on your way. Okay, now, back with the index sheet again here. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about, if I've got time, testifying about your experiences in God as He's been moving upon you. It's important to keep your testimony in the same context, the same attitude, and the same reverence as when you were under the Spirit and it took place. Don't come and later embellish it. Don't reorganize it and put it into a different. You're going to have to, if you're going to testify properly. In other words, you were feeling a reverence, a certain reverence on the Spirit. Don't change it into a little lighter, flimsy time when you share it and make a little bit of fun out of it and throw a little few analogies along the way. Keep it in the same place. Just take it out and put it right over here until it's an accurate testimony. Don't exaggerate. Be accurate. Don't guess and assume. Tell what you know. And don't do a lot of don't avoid guessing at the interpretations of visions you don't know. If you see a vision, you don't know what this means, don't begin to tell everybody this is this, and I think this is this, and this is it. Don't guess. Unless God has shown you, unless you know by the Spirit, unless you know what they are, then don't bother trying to interpret it. Don't relive all of the anxieties and dryness you felt in trying to get there. It's not edifying to listen to 20 minutes as a person's trying to recount all the, I was just so dry. I mean, it was just terrible. I was just there, and my back was aching, and my legs, you know, and I was just there, and I was just, perspiration was pouring, and I was just pressing in, and I was just depressed, you know. A long piece like this is not really, waiting for you to get to the glory. So you can state it succinctly, and then get into the glory part of it. Get into what God has done. Don't relive for long periods of time all the anxieties and the problems and the difficulties. That doesn't make a good testimony. State it and go on. Don't testify of every tiny emotion, every tiny release, every tiny flash picture that comes into the mind, every tiny action of the body, every tiny feeling, every tiny thought. Don't try to relive, because it's exciting to you, every little thing, then I moved this, and then that happened, and then I went to this, and then that. And then. Don't relive every detail. Tell the essential inner work. Tell the essential manifestation. Come to grips with what God is doing and He did, and just tell it right down the line. That makes a good testimony. Avoid testifying in gross generalities. They don't know what happened to you. Be specific. Tell your experience. Keep it moving. Keep it progressive. Now, don't get bogged down to think about it and try to relive. Maybe get up like this. They get bogged down and they try to go back and then they try to relive it and think about it and all the emotions and the feelings and so forth. And it just takes forever and a day for them to capture and get all these things. It drags and it drags and it drags. All you need to do is get it in your mind. Go through it a number of times until you know the essential thoughts, you know how to express them, you know what happened, it's clear in your own mind. Go through it enough until you have got it clear so you can stand up and go bang, 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 and then sit down. And then you've got a good, crystal clear testimonies that are coherent. You know how to express it. You know what happened. You don't have to try to relive it and go through all the emotions at the moment. If God's done something, go through it a number of times until you've got it clear into your mind. We are saving, as a matter of fact, collecting the better testimonies of what God has been doing. That is, those who've been coming out coherently, clear, with power, with anointing, with splankna, as they say, with unction, with emotion, with feeling, with tears and love and joy and power and release, and those real good testimonies, we're saving them in a special category until someday we want to produce a book on this, on the revival of God as it progresses over the years. We've got a whole list of testimonies we can draw from and pull together. We've got things that can be replayed, and we want good testimonies. We want to edify the body. Don't make God or the revival look cute, flimsy, or silly. Keep it in a place of high reverence at all times. Don't get cute with it. Keep it in a place where it's always in right decorum before the Almighty Sovereign God. Now, when everybody else, and I must stress the word everybody else, meaning almost everybody else, not just a few, when everybody else gets released until they're free to worship God with abandon, and they're released of hurts and wounds and fears and frustrations and the lusts and problems, and the free in the spirit to praise God, the lives full of joy and love, the lives are changed, the demonic forces are driven away, the wounds are hurt and healed, and hurts are healed, and the sins are uprooted. Now, if you don't at that time move in and obtain, if you don't by that time, your ministry is about over. Even your pew-sitting days are about over. Because you won't feel compatible with everyone else. You won't feel free. You will either press in and obtain or you'll drop out. I mean, that's the way it'll be. Some who don't move in will start becoming critical. That's the nature of people, you know, and they're open to the devil. Because if you can't obtain, criticize it so you won't be thought of as inferior. See, that's one of the tactics that the devil uses, one of the defense mechanisms. If you can't join in, criticize it, so then you won't feel, otherwise you have to admit that you're here and they'll heal. So if you criticize it, then you can keep up here. See, you have to beware of those tricks of the mind. Some have become discouraged and backslide. Some have become discouraged and they go to another church that doesn't have the same freedom, same power with God, not as correct doctrine, because they don't feel at home. In other words, there's going to be a gap widening. Now, you don't need to panic over this. There's plenty of time. But you can't just go forever. You need to start entering in. Eventually, if the Lord keeps moving this way, and if we keep moving this way, and if this thing is going to be a sustained shower, in a year or two, we're going to find ourselves way uphill. And you need to keep coming up with us. You need to eventually get up. Don't worry. If you're pressing in, don't worry. Don't worry about the fact that I haven't got it and it's been 2 months. Don't worry if it's been 6 months. If you're pressing in, don't worry. I'm not worried about you. I'm only worried about people that don't press in. If you're new and you haven't seen these things, you're not quite sure and you're weighing them, that's fine. Don't worry about it. But as soon as you become convinced, then start moving in. Remember that all will receive who believe God and press in by faith with determination. God's no respecter of persons. Don't lie against him and say, well, he will never give it to me. Don't lie against God. Please don't lie against him. Don't say that. That's a lie. God says otherwise, so don't lie against him. Remember this. You can't receive God until he gives himself to you. And he knows how, so trust him. You need only to open up and yield to how he's moving, seek him, praise him, in faith, believing. You need to do much prayer in faith as well as in supplication. It's like Jacob with the angel. He who hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. And when you seek me with your whole heart, you shall find me. And God is not far from any one of you. And there's many scriptures like that. Lay hold of those promises. There's a lot more happening in the spirit than a person often realizes, too. You can't always feel outwardly by emotion everything that God's doing in a deep inner spiritual work. And so keep your mind on the Lord at all times and just trust Him. I think this is where we're going to go. Let me look here a minute and see how much I've got left. I think I'm just getting close to done. Let me try to finish this up this morning. Let me go a few minutes over. I think I'm going to have to come back to it. When the rain is falling, when the rain begins falling, don't waste it. Bring souls in. That's our job. Now is the hour they will receive when the rain begins falling. Now is the hour you can begin showing the love of God. When the rain is falling upon you. Take advantage of it to prepare against the future crisis and the storms, too. God may be strengthening us against future things that are coming. So get strengthened. Use it wisely. Commit ourselves to one another. Commit ourselves to the pastor. Commit ourselves to the elders. Commit ourselves to the Word of God. Commit ourselves to the body of Christ. Don't just enjoy God's love and power and presence. Now, that must be exclusive for a season. There's a time to just relish in that and get that strengthened in you, and that's fine. But make decisions for your family. Make decisions for your life. Make decisions for God out of all of this. Don't just enjoy it. Make decisions. Prepare for a future ministry in this. Seek the gifts. That's a commandment. That commandment's best followed at this time, to earnestly seek the best gifts. Put it into practical use. Begin exercising the fruits of the Spirit. Christ-likeness. If God's moving upon you, don't just keep getting more and more moving. Begin to exercise it in Christ-likeness. So He'll be pleased to keep giving you more. If you're spending His money wisely in investments, spiritually, then He wants to keep giving you more to invest. And if you invest your spirit and power in Christ-likeness, He'll want to give you more. But if you're just all piled up inside and you won't invest it, then you're not so apt to get more. Remember, at the table, he who drinks his milk gets a second glass. You got to use it. Exercise faith in hard areas. You can find difficult areas, begin exercising faith in those more difficult areas. Exercise submission. If it's not easy for you, begin exercising submission. Let the Spirit of God help you. That's what it's for. The Spirit of God has to help you in all these areas. Let the Spirit help you to exercise lifting the burdens of other people. Give in humility. Use the Spirit of God for the graces of God. Use it, enjoy it, and then use it for Christ-likeness in all these areas. Don't just drink it in and let that be the end. As long as I got my spiritual trip, I'm satisfied. It should then be put into service. Don't manipulate or play games with the Spirit through manifestations. Now, I've got one area left and I'm done. I want to let you know, I made a statement. When I first came back from the elders' retreat, something happened there with us as we prayed for hours every day together for a whole week. After about, 40 hours or so praying together, there was something built in us that was a strong bond. And we were all in the place we were ministering to one another until there was a love for them ministering for so long with each other. And we come through and experience this, and we were so emotionally affected that when we came and saw the congregation, all of a sudden there was just a recognition that there was a feeling like, oh, Lord, we're still under that heavy, anointing. And we felt like, oh, we just felt a gap. I mean, we wanted to feel a gap. It's just we had a privilege of being a place together for all this time that you hadn't had. And now the job was to try to relate it. And you just didn't feel like even starting hardly. You didn't know how to relate it, quite. You didn't know if people couldn't understand the same way because they weren't with you in the Spirit the same way. It was just that thing. But as you have moved in and continued to pray, and that emotion and that emotion has dropped in us, and not that we're not still getting emotions, but that particular thing, special thing, it has done. And although God has built in our eldership a unity now and love that wasn't there before in a greater way, I no longer, and I think I speak for all of us, I no longer feel that gap. And I know a couple people are kind of bothered by that. Well, now he feels this big gap, and now he doesn't love us anymore and all this. But that's not the truth. I love you dearly. I don't really feel a gap. I mean, our emotions have dropped enough of that special place. You can't live in that experience forever. And although something was done here special, as we were ministering together and you've ministered and so forth, I honestly before God do not feel any kind of a gap between the eldership and you. And you should feel free to pray for the elders as you know that they will want it. But be anointed and sensitive to the Spirit and in the Spirit when you're praying. And as for me, I particularly benefit, like this morning, I particularly benefit for those who are intercessors, elders, their wives, praying for me. Those who kinda, who've had the same experiences and kind of know where you are and how to pray will do me the most good. And I'm sure that's true with others too. We'll take a break right now for a few moments, and then we'll begin the worship service in about 10 minutes.